you know what? It's a pleasure to have Carl Hall with me right now in between gigs. I saw you at Southport, actually, briefly on the side. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was great, man. And I enjoyed the experience.
That's what it's all about. First time? No, you've been to the UK a few times.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I've been to the UK a few times. That was the first time I played Southport. Yeah.
Tell me about your history, because I kind of got to know you through the record that you've just released on Hyperdub, and as I'm sort of seeing, there's quite a lot more that's come previously to that.
Yeah,
I mean, you're only 18, so I mean,
yeah,
when did you start?
I started when I was about 11. As far as DJing, uncle of mine, DJ Raybone, kind of schooled me on as far as mixing and things like that, selection. Then after that, I kind of pursued production a little bit more once I started to see that I wanted to make, you know, music, you know, that I could play or, you know, listen to for that matter.
11?
Yeah.
So where were you hearing it? What kind of made you become a DJ then? Was there...
Even prior to that, man, I always wanted to do that because I would watch the DMC videos,
right?
The hip hop guys do their thing. But as far as hearing electronic music, if that's what you're talking about, there's like some radio shows, like late night, kind of more commercial pop based kind of things that were geared in the electronic realm. But I mean, yeah, I had friends too. Then also through Raybone, I mean, I ended up meeting other Detroit artists and things like that. And, you know, it's just by association of me of being around certain people, kind of further garnered my interest.
Mm-hmm. And Detroit, what is it about Detroit that seems to bring out this music? Because it doesn't seem to happen anywhere else in America, the amount of talent and producers who are making such fine electronic music. Have you got a theory?
I mean, yeah, I do. Because it's not a city where so many people doing it at one time, you're always kind of in your own head. So you tend to get more creative when you don't have as many direct influences, you know? So maybe that's what it is. I think if more people were in their own heads, they would be allowed to do their own thing. So maybe that's why, or I mean, could be a number of things. Could be because of the weather conditions. It could be. I mean, but that's my theory.
Excellent. Well, listen, we're going to play this brand new one you've got coming out on Third Ear Records. It's an EP.
Yeah.
Let's play a track and you can talk about it afterwards. Tell us all,
all
about,
right.
Tell us all about it. with Carl Hall, listening to some new music on Third Ear Records and 4-track EP?
Yeah, 4 tracks.
And it's good to see that your bag is full of vinyl. You're not playing too many CDs or any at all, right?
Right, that's right.
And what do you do in the studio? How does it work for you? Is it all yourself, keyboards, the whole thing?
Yep.
Yeah, where did you learn to play? Did you learn yourself?
Self-taught.
Great. And you know all those musicians, all those DJs in Detroit, obviously Jeff Mills and Derek May, Carl Craig, Theo Parrish, all that. Was there one in particular that really inspired you? Who were your sort of early DJ inspirations out of that city?
Well, early DJ inspirations out of those guys... it wasn't early with them. I say maybe out of those guys, maybe Rick Wilhite, because I would go out and see him play, like my Uncle Ray, DJ Raybone. I see Al Ester play. I see Kevin Dysart play. These are kind of more lesser known cats. But I mean, Theo and all them, they were touring and stuff. So a lot of times when I came out, they weren't in the city playing, you know. That was before my time, they were here, but by that time, they were out there, so, I mean, yeah.
Most of them are still living in Detroit, though, aren't they? I mean, Carl's still living there.
Yeah.
Everyone comes home.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself sort of eventually leaving Detroit, or do you think you're going to be there for the next sort of foreseeable future?
Well, as of now, I don't really see any reason, you know, so I can't, you know, predict the future or how situations might change, but as far as, you know... Detroit's a pretty easy place to live, so I don't really see a reason to move as of now.
And are you spending more time traveling outside of the States, or is there a lot of buzz around the U.S. as well?
More and more now that I've been playing in Europe. Actually, that's generally how it works.
Yeah.
You know, Europeans respect you. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, he cool. We can give him some props now. But I'm playing the festival this year, so that's cool, you know. The Electron Music Festival in Detroit. You know, it was my first year doing that, so I mean, definitely the European exposure definitely has some influence on that, I believe. So, yeah.
But it's interesting you saying about some of those DJs that haven't sort of, you know, got out of Detroit necessarily. There's the big names. Is it mainly because you have to make music?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a huge part of it is... These days, producers become the performers. And not a lot of the time, these people are DJs, you know? So a lot of times the DJing aspect comes into play when there's money involved. So, but there's a lot of great DJs in Detroit that were just DJs. Because back in the 80s and 90s, it was about the DJ scene. I don't think a lot of people, from my understanding, from what people told me, it doesn't sound like a lot of people were thinking about doing so much production. You know, maybe like guys like Carl Craig and them, but the majority of everyone else, it was more so like a competition of who's the best DJ, and it was more about the crews and things, the DJ crews. You had like Direct Drive, you know, you had the Charivari guys. You had the preppy guys to like the rough, you know, guys wearing the Adidas suits to the, you know, I mean, this is stuff I've heard, you know, from other people, you know, from who've actually been there, you know. From my father to, you know, to other guys like Theo and Rick and Omar S, you know, because they all have different perspectives of coming up. But to go back to the question, if you don't make music, you're not going to get out there. And I learned that kind of fast.
And you're making a lot of music at the moment. There's a lot of stuff coming out, and you're doing a few remixes too. We played the Dressed in Dresden earlier on in the show, and this is another new one from a group from Belfast, right?
No. Actually, it's a guy who calls himself Space Dimension Controller, Jack Hamill. He's a 19-year-old producer from Belfast that's very talented. This is my first thing I've done, you know, working in kind of collaboration to one of his projects. I did this remix on my own, but as doing something with him. So I think in the future I'll probably be doing some more stuff for him or with him, you know. But the label, Royal Oak, that's a subsidiary of Clone, which is based in Rotterdam. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we got the KMFH. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep. That's right. I did it says bit, on the cap, man. If you forget, it's
I did
right
it.
Here.
I did it a bit fast. I almost caught myself out.
Yeah,
Carl Hall playing tunes, and yeah, as you say, there's so much music. Where are you getting your music from?
As far as vinyl, where I'm buying.
Yeah, where are you sort of hearing it?
Oh, where am I hearing it?
Yeah.
Internet.
Really?
Internet. Yeah. Other people, friends. You know, shows, concerts. Everywhere, man. Anywhere it's audible sound, that's where you get it from.
And when it comes to playing sets, are you playing majority of your own sounds, or are you actually mixing up with other people's?
Well, other people's, yeah, of course, you know, because I appreciate music in general. I'm not going to be a snob and just play all my own stuff.
Right, right.
But, you know, maybe one day I'll be a snob and play all my own stuff, but, you know, not right now.
And one of the great, interesting records, one of the best records of the year, as you heard earlier on, was the latest record that you've just released on Hyperdub Recordings, the double A side, actually. And how did you get to meet Steve and the crew at Hyperdub and get tap into that scene? Because it's slightly different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all relative, though, because music. But, I mean, I believe Marcus, he was working at Warp Records at one point, and I was interested in doing some stuff for them. So through a friend of mine, I talked to this other guy who actually does distribution in Detroit called Fit. And he talked to somebody else, like, yeah, check this guy Kyle Hall out. You know, he said he kind of wants to do something for Warp or something like that. He's like, so, yeah, he knew some guy. And then that guy knew some other guy. And then hit up Marcus in Code 9 or something. I guess heard up Marcus because he worked at Warp. And then he emailed me up, and I was like, dang, that was fast. So I was like, I just said, you know, I'm interested in possibly doing something for Warp. I think I could do something that, you know, would be a benefit to that label. I think I could contribute. So he hit me up, and he was like, yeah, well, I do this at Warp and this and that. I was like, all right, cool. Like, well, you got some tracks. And I was like, yeah. But I wanted to get some stuff better, you know. I was like, all right, I'm going to make something, you know. Something real solid, you know, send it off to him about a month or something, about, you know, giving myself some time to make something new, you know. So he in that time period of me about to make something, he hits me up about this other group, Dark Star, and he said they like your music or whatever, and they'd be interested in you doing a remix for this other label, Hyperdub, that I work with. And I was like, oh yeah, I heard of Hyperdub. I mean, you know, this dubstep stuff, you know, that sounds straight, you know. I don't mind, you know, something different, you know, that's cool. I just, you know, it sound different, you know, some different sound of stuff. So why not, you know? So I went ahead and did it, you know, did the remix for Hyperdub, the 80s Girls Computer. That came out, I think, around like October, something, you know. I did it around the summer. And then, you know, it was real well received, and people appreciate the remix, you know, and then that kind of allowed my name to get known in other scenes, like I guess in the UK or whatever. So from that remix, you know, I think that kind of showed that Code 9 that, you know, it's like, oh, some potential here, you know, do something with, you know, hey man, this record did pretty good. You want to do some originals though? I was like, why not? I can probably try to do some dub stuff, you know. Why not? Let me try. You know, I've been listening to some stuff since this remix, you know, just checking out what's going on. So I went in, you know, one night, just sat down. I was like, I'm about to do the KMFH, you know, interpretation of what I think dub stuff should sound like and how I would like it to be, you know, translated to people. So went ahead, knocked him out, sent him to Marcus, sent him to Code 9. He's like, yeah, I like him. That's sweet. Yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. Yeah, that's pretty interesting sounding. That don't sound like nothing else I heard. So I was like, cool, I'll do another one. Bam. Next day, that was the EP. Then, you know, the rest is just the rest of paperwork and all that, and it was done.
I'm really curious about how you're making your music, like what equipment you're using. Is there a lot of stuff you constantly or consistently buying new stuff?
I haven't really been buying too much new stuff. I've been trying to conserve some money. But I use like a lot of hardware. I use combination hardware and software at times, as far as like synths and things like that. Maybe some more software. I use like hardware stuff I use. I use like Nordlead too. I like that keyboard. It's like analog emulation, kind of like an analog modeling synth. Use the MPC 1000. Use the SP-404 to Roland. I use the SDX-330 Roland rack. I use the M3R rack, the EMU racks, Planet Fast, Planet Dance. What else, man? I use a lot of stuff. I use Casios. Use so much, man. I use like old DJ samplers, like 8-bit DJ samplers, get gritty sound, cassette tapes, Simmons drum machines, Simmons drum processors, SDS-8, man, a lot of stuff, man, whatever.
And you're going to be working with some singers soon?
I actually did some stuff with some vocalists. I just haven't really let anyone hear it yet, but when I feel it's ready, I'll let people hear.
And with all these different tracks coming out on different labels and stuff, have you got a sort of idea of dropping an album at one stage?
Yeah. Probably this year or so, I might whip up an album or something.
On your own label?
No, I probably license it so I can make more money. You know? I ain't stupid, you know. I'm a businessman. Shit. KMFH.
Okay, this is a track which is straight out of your box, one of your favorites at the moment.
Yeah, it's Omar S. Remix of Big Strick, Two Detroit Cats. It's on the new Double Pack EP, Double Pack LP, I should say. I'm sorry, but this one came out on 7 days on the first EP that Big Strick did on Effexy Records. So, this track's called, I think it's called Buckle Up. Buckle Up, yeah, Buckle Up. And this is like Alex Omar Smith's interpretation. You know, do his thing on it. Love playing the track. He's banging, you know, gives me hype, get the crowd hype, get everybody hype, make me work the EQs and stuff, you know. Shoot. That's what I live for, so, you know, I like these type of tracks.
I love the way you say it, just gets you going.
Yeah.
There are tunes like that, aren't there?
Yeah. It's banging, man. That's all I play. I play some smoothies, you know. I like the bangers.
What about the difference in DJ styles? Can you sort of notice the difference when you travel around?
Yes. Yes, I can. I definitely notice. First notice is digital style versus analog style. You know which one I prefer. So, everybody got their style. You know, some people like rotaries. Some people like the faders. I'm quite partial to the faders. Right. I must say so myself.
Okay.
I'm not a rotary man.
You got a particular favorite mixer?
I like that Formula One sound. That old school one. Got nice, clear sound. Mm. Good, quality. You know, got the faders. Simple, straight to the point. Don't got too many bullcrap effects, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I like to do it. Let's get down. Let's get dirty. Let's play it.
Yeah.
I also like that Bozak, that rotary one, which is cool. I like the sound quality. I like the DJR sound quality. But I like the Formula One because it got faders. Put some faders on the DJR, dog. I'm down.
Okay, we're going to finish off with this track. This is another one you've pulled out of your bag. Explain this.
Yeah, this is Scott Grooves, another fellow Detroiter. Mm. Definitely skilled brother. He's done some great stuff. I mean, probably the most notable thing people know that he's done is the... something that Daft Punk remixed. It was something he collaborated with Parliament. Man, I can't remember the name of the track. It's on the tip of my tongue right now. But then, I mean, he got other stuff other than that. I mean, that one came out on Soma. But like this stuff he did, like old school. Another big one he had come out was La Rhythm. That was on Clone. The Journey is probably one of his biggest underground cuts.
Sure.
I mean, like the percussion and that, man.
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around, you know. And that's another guy that I feel like needs to get more attention, you know. I mean, he's getting a little bit more now, but not even as much as I feel that he should. So, you know, I wanted to highlight him by playing this, you know, and show my appreciation for his music.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Yep, no problem. Pleasure.